You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland rates will increase by 7.9% for the next year, as included in Council's annual budget, which passed earlier this week. The rate increase comes as Council needs an additional $235 million each year to run the City Rail Link, which will open in the second half of 2026. And bus passenger numbers in Auckland are back to pre-COVID levels, with a record number of bus trips in March. I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics. I started by asking if she thinks 7.9% is an appropriate rate increase.
I think it's the rates increase we have to do. That's the sort of the financial reality of council at the moment. And, you know, we spent months working on this budget. Yeah, we always do. But in particular, it had actually been signalled a long way out that this one was going to need to be 7.9% because that's how much we needed to cover the cost of the City Rail Link opening. So how that works is that we have, you know, obviously it's been built over many years, and once it starts to operate, we have a whole lot of operating costs and owning costs that come from the City Rail Link that previously were being funded through debt, which is not funded by rates, and now we have to shift that to being funded by rates. So it's the reality when a large asset comes onto the book, and this is the largest, that we have to pay for that through rates. So that is basically the whole of the 7.9% rates increase is actually covering the running costs and also what are called the owning costs, so the interest repayments and the depreciation on CRL. You can slice it differently and say, well, you know, some of it's for this, some of it's that, and some of it's for CRL. But when you sort of sit down and do the maths, that's most, if not all, of the rates increase. So it was always going to happen at some point. It's just that it's had to happen this year. And we did signal in the long-term plan when we consulted on that in 2024 that this would need to happen this year. And we've stuck to that number consistently.
And how does this compare to increases from other councils?
So far, I think we are tracking, I mean, it's high for us. We've, in the history of Auckland Council since 2010, we've not done a higher increase than this. So it's unusual for Auckland to go this high. But nationally, actually, we always have really low rates increases, and 7.9 is still at the low end. It's interesting to think about Tauranga Council, which only quite recently started to have elections again. Their finances had got so bad that government had to call in commissioners some years ago. And so the commissioners for 3 years were setting the rates. You know, they weren't elected, and they set the rates at whatever was basically needed for the finances without sort of too much political toing and froing. And I think the lowest they set was something like 8, and they had a 15% rates increase in their first year because that's how much money they needed to deal with the fact that they, you know, had a lot of financial costs. There's also some work done by Wellington City Council last year around comparing their rates affordability to, you know, so how affordable was it to pay the rates given the context of, you know, how much money do people earn in Wellington, what are the house prices, that kind of stuff. And that actually showed that they compared against 9 other centres, including Auckland, and that showed that Auckland had the most affordable rates of those 10 major centres. For residential, and I think we were tied for most affordable rates with Palmerston North for the business rates. And then if you consider the fact that in Auckland you actually get way more services than a lot of those other places for the same or sometimes lower rates. One of my colleagues used to live in Dunedin, and she was talking about how the rates on a comparable property in Dunedin were higher than in Auckland, and you got far fewer services than you get in Auckland. So it's all, you know, there's a complex piece beyond just looking at the headline figures.
And you mentioned how something like the CRL has an impact on the rates increase, but I'm curious, how do things like the cost of living crisis and the ongoing fuel crisis affect council's operating costs?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we employ a lot of people, and that's one of the things that, you know, when people put up cuts to have lower rates, one of the things that I always keep in mind is often those cuts are people's jobs. You know, those are, so that's pay to Aucklanders who are, you know, doing their best working for the council or working for a contractor on behalf of council, you know, to deliver all of those services and maintain our assets and stuff. And then that's money that they also spend in the local economy that goes round and round. So, you know, that's always a consideration for me. When we talk about cuts, we are talking about usually jobs, and those jobs are held by Aucklanders. So that's always a consideration for me too, in that balancing act. Also, you know, I mentioned before the stuff about rates affordability, so that's looking at rates as a proportion of household costs. The international measure for that is, there's lots of different ways of looking at it. It's hard to compare because different countries do different things. But the general, just as if it's under 5% of a household's income, that's considered affordable. Ours is usually between 3 and 3.5% that people are paying in rates. And so, you know, well under affordable. I guess one of the things for me is that a lot of the things that council does actually help people in a cost of living crisis. I was at a thing, a community event a couple of weeks ago in Wesley, where everything was free for the community. I was helping out with the sausage sizzle. We gave out 650 free sausages with bread, usually. And there were free ice creams, there was free hot chocolate, there was free entertainment. And the people who came to that were, from my you know, rough assessment, were low-income people. Oh, and the other thing was they had a big mound of snow for the kids to play with. That was the big attraction, right? So kids who would otherwise never be able to go and touch the snow. And so, you know, that's something that was council funded and put on for free, that otherwise, you know, those families, there's no way they could have afforded to go to Snow Planet or, you know, necessarily go and have an ice cream out as a family. So, you know, there's a lot of things we do that actually mean that we keep the cost of living down for Aucklanders, and spreading the cost across everybody through a modest rates increase, I think, is a fair trade-off.
And I want to turn now to ask about the record high numbers of bus trips in Auckland. Why do you think more people are catching the bus, and does it have anything to do with what we were just talking about?
Yeah, I think there's two big factors. One being the cost of living, that people are looking at their car and looking at how much they're paying in petrol or diesel. And even for the people with EVs, the cost of electricity has gone up a lot. And they're looking at the bus and they're thinking, oh, maybe this is a better option for me, because we now have the $50 fare cap, so no matter how much you catch the bus in 1 week, you won't pay more than $50 on your hot card. There are discounts for students and children. The gold card means that people over 65 travel after 9 a.m. for free. That's another thing, actually, by the way, that Auckland Council funds extra from rates compared to the rest of the country, where the government funds just they don't fund the evening peak for free for people with gold card, and in Auckland we do that from rates. Anyway. So I think people are making that shift. I think the other thing is that people are getting a taste and realising actually this is quite a nice way to travel now. This is not the bus system of the 1990s, when it used to take me an hour to get to uni from Glenfield, and I had to walk all the way from where they were building the Sky Tower all the way over to uni, and the buses were, you know, creaky and old, and the air conditioning didn't work. And, you know, this is a different bus system now. We've got much more comfortable, they come more often. Double decker's pretty cool, sitting on the top, it's amazing view. Recommend doing it, taking an NX1 or 2 over the Harbour Bridge, just fantastic view sitting up the top. So I think people are starting to realise, you know, this is a viable option from a range of different perspectives.
And how do you think public transport usage, including bus usage, will be affected when the CRL opens?
I think it's going to be a bit of a game changer. I think people who haven't tried a train for ages, because the trains have got heaps better too, and actually a bunch of the trains are just having the insides of the carriages redone with new upholstery because they got quite worn. And I actually had a friend, Sabine, if you're listening, Shoulder, who sent me a photo of the new upholstery and was like, this is great, this is what we need. We need to have these spaces that, you know, they're public spaces, buses and trains, in theory. But we need to feel like they're nice places to be. We all deserve that. Anyway, so I think we'll sort of see a sudden thing of people trying it who haven't necessarily, and then hopefully having their aha moment. Actually, hey, this is quite nice. This could be an option for me. I think one of the really big changes we're going to see is around to Waikato Tube Station in Midtown. That area's been quite run down for a while, waiting for this to be ready. And you can already see, the council offices are right there, you can already see the sort of lift that's happening around that area from Albert Street being finished, now Wellesley Street's bus interchange being finished as well. And once that station opens, it's going to be super lively around there and vibrant, and all those shops and businesses are going to get a lift. And, you know, that kind of stuff just builds and builds, which is great.
And I want to finish by quickly asking, Budget Day in Parliament today, do you think there'll be anything in there for Aucklanders?
Sadly, I don't think there will be much in it for Aucklanders. I have to be honest, I am quite depressed about the direction this government's taking in a lot of ways, you know, financially, but also the, you know, pointless attack on vulnerable communities like the homeless and now the trans community. What I would love to see is some real help for Auckland with public transport subsidies. We, under the previous government, you know, they had free public transport for kids, not just on the weekends, and if we could get something like that in the fuel crisis, and that would help us to, you know, get people looking at, do I have to drive my kid to school? Can they take the bus? That would actually have a lot of benefits, I think, for a lot of families, and also, yeah, obviously reduce carbon emissions and things like that, because we know if a parent has to drive a kid to school, they usually keep driving for the rest of the day. They don't have a lot of options. I certainly experience that in the school holidays myself when I have to drive one of my kids to school holiday programs. It sort of cascades the whole day. So that's what I would love to see, would be some public transport subsidies. I'd love to see them allowing us to do a bed night tax levy, give us the money back from GST like happens in Australia, but I don't think we'll see any of that, unfortunately.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry on the 7.9% rates increase and bus passenger numbers reaching a record high.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.